We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. You know, one of the most frequently asked questions I receive from people in our Paper Camp program is, which trade show should I do, if any? And my answer is always, well, it really depends. You know, together we deep dive into their goals, what type of stores they want to connect with, their budget, and logistics of them exhibiting at the show. And ultimately, it boils down to, what do you want the outcome of the show to be? We want to align you and your brand with the right shows to get the best outcome for you. But there's a lot to consider, and we do go through all of it in Paper Camp, but it is still an individualized decision that everyone needs to make. And even my seasoned exhibitors will still question this as they continue to do different shows, because exhibiting at a trade show is a risk. You invest a lot of time and money and energy without knowing what those outcomes will be. And sure, we can do our best to mitigate risk by preparing our product line and our marketing plan, but there's still no guaranteed results when you sign up to exhibit at a trade show. And while results for show sales will vary widely from business to business, I'm really excited about today's episode because today's guest is pulling back the curtain and sharing the results of her summer 2021 show with Shop Object in New York. Paper Camp alumni Jody Kalstenik is sharing her sales data, volume of orders, and expenses tied to exhibiting. This is the type of conversation that typically happens behind closed doors, but Jody asked if we could have this publicly to help all of you. Jody is the creator behind The Neighbor Goods, a product line inspired by the beauty of food and how it brings people together. She creates and sells dish towels, tote bags, aprons, greeting cards, pins, and more. The Neighbor Goods has grown over the years from a side hustle to having a brick and mortar store, then taking a step back into their current home studio in Washington, D.C. On today's episode, Jody is sharing her experience exhibiting at wholesale trade shows. She shares how she's done different shows since 2018, the growth she's experienced due to these shows, and we talk hard numbers because Jody thinks it's important to be transparent and finds hard data helpful for her. Before we jump in, I want to quickly mention that we will be opening enrollment for our Paper Camp program next month, and I will be offering a full tuition scholarship like we always do. To receive more information about the scholarship application process, join our Paper Camp waitlist at proof2product.com/papercamp. All right, let's hear from Jody from The Neighbor Goods. Hey, Jody, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm thrilled to have you. You know, your business has gone through some major shifts and transitions over the past year. Why don't you tell our listeners about The Neighbor Goods and what you sell and what are your primary sales channels?
Yeah. So we're The Neighbor Goods and our main product is dish towels. That's what we started with. And that's kind of our top category. And since we've grown that to other gift categories, so we have tote bags and baby one pieces and greeting cards, pins and ornaments and magnets. I think that's like, oh, and aprons are new. So we still dish towels main category, but we've grown very slowly over the years, but it's now kind of crazy how many products we have. And I sell wholesale and direct to consumer, just at like in-person markets, as well as online. We sell on our own website. We sell through Etsy, and we're also on the handmade at Amazon.
Very cool.
Yeah. And for wholesale, we are on the online fair platform and do our own outreach, as well as have been going to trade shows.
It's a lot of work, huh?
Yeah, a lot of everything.
Having your hands in all those things. All right. So setting the stage here a little bit, you attended Paper Camp in March of 2019, which was after you had started selling wholesale already and after you had done your first show, correct?
Yes. So actually, I think it was March 2019, because it was right before I opened my first brick and mortar store, and I was trying to decide if I should do that. And I attended my first trade show February 2018, and it was actually through a proof to product connection. So I didn't actually know about proof to product previously in my previous life. And then I moved to DC, and my friends that I met here, my one friend was part of it. And so she was, you know, part of the Facebook group and everything. And back in 2017, like holidays 2017, there was a company, Farewell Papery, I think is mm-hmm. who it was. They decided just to stop being a business, I think is what happened. And they put out into the Facebook group, hey, does anybody want to take over our booth? Like they already had it fully paid for. And I know it was like a big, like a larger booth. It was like 12 by 15. And they had like a really good location. And my friend who was part of your group, her name's Sarah, fancy seeing you here. Thanks, Sarah. she was like, I know. And I talked about doing trade shows all the time because she's done them before. And I think she was a little like over it. She's like, why do you want to do, you know, why do you want to do them? Like, I don't know. I just feel like I need that as my next step. You know, it was like a scary move, but I just kept wanting to do it. Whether it would be a good or bad move, I'm like, I just need to do it and get it out of my system. Yep. And so when she saw that opportunity come up, she told me about it. And you know, first I was like, because it was like December and the show's, you know, early February. So I had to be a quick decision and like, let's just do it. But so Lindsay Henry from Inklings Papery, who's amazing.
As she is amazing. You know,
she is the one I think that took the reins of saying like, yeah, I'll take that space. And then said, but I would need to share it with some other people. And, you know, whether it was like two other people or one other person. And long story short, I ended up sharing it with her and Jess McSweeney from Inkwell Papery. And it was, so I think like in splitting it, Lindsay was amazing. Thank you, Lindsay. She was so great that she has done trade shows before. So she had everything there. You know, she had the crate that got shipped to our booth. And she said like, we can use my walls. We can use all of this. We'll just, you know, if you guys can help me just pay for like the extra things I have to build on. So we all met there, like we didn't know each other at all. And we all met there and we painted our walls and we each had a wall. So like three walls, you know, and Lindsay shared all of her booth pieces with us and all of her knowledge of like doing trade shows before. So that was, that was just like a very, like such, I'm so grateful and like such a great step of like getting my feet wet into the trade show world. Cause I was able to be there with someone who's done it, someone who also didn't do it with Jess, like, so we were in there together. And and it didn't, you know, cost me like a little over $3,000 or $4,000, which was a lot for me at the time, but it was also not as much as it could have been. So so I did it. And like, I crunched my numbers here just earlier. And I think my very first show, I made about like $5,000 and had 17 orders. And I like had no idea what to expect, you know, so I felt like good about it.
That's a really great first show, especially in the shared booth.
Great. Yeah. That's why I like sharing numbers, because I don't know what's good or what's not, you know? So,
And everyone says on the show floor, how's the show going? The show's going well. Well, for one person, maybe like four orders. And for somebody else, it's 100.
And so I will say that there are stores that I met at that very first trade show that still order from me. So, you know, you can't totally judge on orders at the show, because how much money have I made from that connection that I've made being there, you know, over the years. So as you know, it's all the long term, but it's nice to actually get orders at the show. But so I, you know, scratched my itch of trade shows and I was like, I need to go back. And, you know, I think that was like the one time deal of sharing it. Cause you know, it was just like, Lindsay, I think she lived a little further away and she has two boys. So she's like, I think I'm only doing one trade show a year. And, you know, and so I was like, okay, I just didn't have it in me to do my own booth at the time. So I was like, well, I have this experience of like sharing a booth. And so I just put out to all my maker friends here in DC, does anybody want to share a booth with me? And my one friend, Tori, who ran Cherry Blossom Creative, who is now Territory. She does neighborhood and city maps. She took the plunge with me and said, yeah, let's do it. So we actually bought some walls off of a fellow maker here in DC. So we bought walls, we painted them here. We like kind of did our setup here and we drove them up there in our U-Haul van, which was grateful sharing with Tori because I wouldn't have been able to do that. And then we lugged our walls. It was like hard work. It was hard work.
It's manual labor for sure.
Yeah, but we did it. And we shared a booth. And I remember it was like a lot smaller than my first one. We weren't in like the ideal section because the other one was from a company that was there. But in crunching those numbers, I got 26 orders and $9,600 in my 26 orders. So I was like, yay, I love Trade Shows. You know, like, this is great. I want to keep doing them. You know, this is great. It's a lot of work, but I felt like, you know, it's worth it. And then Tori and I shared for two more shows. So we're now into 2019, and we asked to be moved because we were in a, like a weird baby transition aisle, which actually wasn't bad after we moved. So we'll get to that. So yeah, we moved, and then we got a bigger booth just to have like a little more breathing room. And that was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, then the next two shows, I only made like $6,000 ish, you know, like each show, and had like, you know, 17 orders. So I was starting to get a little bummed out because, you know, I went like, I had the high of like, it grew from the first show to the second show. And then, I mean, I think the 2019 shows were still, you know, I'm still glad I went. I still went again, you know, the second time that year. And I feel like I said, like I met new retailers that still order from me to this day. Through that time, I think I have since gotten, you know, like Paper Source or Uncommon Goods. And I think that's where they saw me. So,
yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, I had lower orders at the show, but I think it was so good to be there. But then I went to Paper Camp and learned so much. And then I opened my brick and mortar store May of 2019.
Okay.
And so when that happened, I think I did do the trade show then. Okay. Yes.
I remember you doing the show then, because I remember saying to you, Jody, I feel like this is a lot to be opening your brick and mortar and to be exhibiting. It's just from an energy level, not to mention a cash flow situation. It was just a lot.
That is true. But I loved doing the show. Like, I love, you know, seeing all the makers. I love meeting the retailers in real life and just chit chatting. And so I did do it all. And I will say, it was a lot, and maybe I shouldn't have. And yeah, because the store takes up so much of your time and energy and everything. So, you know, that's a whole different topic too. But yeah, it's great while it lasted. But then early 2020 still existed as a show. And I decided, because I had the store, yeah, like I was definitely stretched very thin, that I joined a rep group that just did like the shows.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this would be great. You know, like I could have them do the shows for me, and I've seen their booth. It looked really nice. I could then go to the shows and walk them as a retailer, which is fun and exciting for me. But also after that, also very exhausting. I'm like, whoa, how do people do this? So I'm glad I got the experience from both sides of walking it as a retailer and being part of it. And so, yeah, I worked it with my sales rep. I got a lot of orders. They did all three shows. So I think it was Atlanta, Las Vegas, and New York. Although a lot of those orders then got canceled because of COVID. Yeah, we all know what happened next. So yeah, I had the experience of doing with the rep group. So that was like one of my options this year of like trying to decide.
Okay. Before we get to this year, I just want to recap some of this. One, you've had experience doing different shows in different settings. So you've done shared, you've done with three people, you've done it with two people, you've done it in a rep group. Mm-hmm. Obviously the pros of sharing are that you're reducing your expenses and your reducing the amount of decision fatigue tied to a show.
Yeah.
You have other people helping you make those decisions. Or in the case of the rep booth, you're really just sending product and they're handling the rest. And I just want to clarify the numbers you shared with us in terms of dollar amounts. Was that your net, like after expenses, or was that just total revenue earned in orders?
Just revenue of orders.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I think it's also important to mention here too, that the trade show ordering kind of goes in waves. When you're new to the trade show scene, you sometimes see more orders at the beginning because you're new to the buyers their mm-hmm. your products are new. They're very excited. But you mentioned kind of that stalling out a little bit, or not a stall, but like it dipped a little mm-hmm. bit. And I know that's a place where a lot of people get very frustrated and then they mm-hmm. abandon ship. But one thing I want to reiterate that you said is Uncommon Goods, Paper Source, some of these buyers that have been placing orders with you now for multiple years are people that you came into contact with at these shows. And so mm-hmm. I love that you're sharing your numbers, and I love both dollar amounts and the order amount, but I also love that you're sharing these harder to quantify benefits of being at the show too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also retailers that have ordered from me, you know, since my first show, but they only place orders at shows.
Yep.
And I love doing wholesale reach out because I'm a weirdo, but I love, you know, like sending out the email and like sending out personal emails and seeing them actually place an order after I send it out. So yeah, that's exciting for me. And I follow up, and you just can't get some people to return your emails or your calls, or no, I don't call them actually. So I'm not going to act like I do. So yeah, so they don't return my emails, but they'll see me at shows and they'll say, oh, I was waiting to place an order at a show. So yeah, you definitely get those buyers as well.
It's interesting. Some buyers only want to order at shows. Some buyers only want to order through their sales reps. Some buyers mm-hmm. only want to order online and have zero contact or communication, yeah. really. Like, and that just goes to our human nature of introverts versus extroverts versus, you know, what people have going on in their life. Okay, let's fast forward to the summer of 2021. You and I had a prior to the summer, you and I had a conversation inside of our labs program where we discussed whether or not you should invest in exhibiting at a trade show in 2021. And then kind of a add on to this is, okay, and if so, which show should you participate in? So what was going through your head as we were talking through the pros and cons? Like, what were some of the considerations?
So you brought up some good points that I didn't think of which I should have, but you were like, what's your goal? Like, oh, you know, I was just like, I want to do a show, but yeah, my goal. And you really made me think about that. And so I was like, you know, I think it's getting the new retailers, because like I said, I think I do a fairly good job at, you know, reaching out to get reorders from my existing retailers. And so I wanted to get new retailers, which I think going to a show gets you. And I wanted bigger orders,
yeah,
which I did get. And just in general, I've been doing show deals, you know, throughout each show, is saying like, you know, I'll lower my minimum as an opening order. That like gets some people in the door. And then I think I used to do like, if you order 300, you get free shipping. And I would make it, or maybe it was even 200 when I first started, but I upped those deals this year and I noticed I got larger orders. I don't know if it was because of that or because I have a larger, you know, amount of SKUs or higher priced items this year, but maybe a combination of all those. But yeah, this year I did $400 orders, get free shipping. And then I was like, if you really like me, 800 will get you 5% off plus the free shipping, which I didn't want to totally do. And I wouldn't normally do that, but I sent my little like promo mailer out for both the fair show and the shop object show, which I did pick that one. So I will get back.
Come back to that.
But yeah, so I felt like, oh, I needed to kind of compare both or make both shows equal because I couldn't be like, oh, you get this percentage off from fair, but you don't get anything.
I don't know though. It's a different, I understand why you're saying that, but I also think it's a different audience. I think the people that are buying on fair are a different customer than the people you're meeting at a show. And also, I know that we often extend at the show specials to, you know, people on our mailing list and everything, but I don't know. You and I could talk about that offline, but I think
nobody really probably pays attention to that. They just do their own channels. I think you're right.
And if they do see it somewhere else and ask for it, you can give it to them. But I don't feel like you need to proactively offer it to everybody. But let's back it up here. So you and I were talking through a lot of logistics. We were talking about budget. We were talking about proximity to the show. We were talking about all the different shows that you could possibly do and where your audience was, you know, which ones they were attending, where you'd have the, you know, highest touch points with the right people, right? We were talking about your goals and your budget, and I'm repeating myself now, but we were talking through all these tactical things that you were.
You also brought up, sorry, that I did not think of as any part of my solutions was that you said, well, you could save your money and hire a new person, and maybe they would be a new wholesale, you know, manager and grow your wholesale that way. If that was one of your goals, and maybe don't go to the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's true. And so I didn't feel like I was ready for that. I think I am now, actually, but I wasn't at the time. And then, yeah. And so for New York Now versus the shop object versus, going with the sales rep. So in crunching my numbers for the sales rep, they take a percentage, and with this particular, there's like tons of different kinds of sales reps, as right. we all know. And this one was, you know, specifically for shows, and they managed like everything on their end, where they did the invoicing and they did everything, contact with the retailer, and they would just send me a check, which that was great because I'm like, oh, I don't have to do anything. But I also had no contact with the retailer whatsoever. And so I really, like, once I stopped working with them, I didn't have like the relationship with the retailer to follow up. And so I didn't get the long-term thing from like my first shows of, yeah. oh, this customer came back. So I kind of took that into consideration. Like, you also had to pay them, you know, a couple $1,000s. To do the show plus the commission. And so I was like, okay, with those numbers, I had to get X amount of orders, like X amount of money in orders. And looking at my past shows, I don't know, like, and then take out, you know, actual like cost of product, and then yeah. the cost to do the show, and then their percentage. And I was like, well, I don't think that's really making me that much money that it's worth it. And it's not growing my business, because I could just lose those retailers, right. which I don't think that's the case for all reps. If you work with that rep group for a long time, like, that could still be a good way to go, but it just wasn't what I feel like I was wanting at this time.
Well, and this is why it's so important for the listeners to hear that this is such an individualized decision, and your circumstances, Jody, are going to be very different than anyone else listening, and how you're weighing these. They're going to go through similar pros and cons and weighing the factors, mm-hmm. but their factors are going to be different than yours. So I think this is why it was good that we talked out all these different. So ultimately, mm-hmm. you decided to move forward exhibiting at Shop Object in summer 2021, and you mm-hmm. also did the fair market. So let's talk Shop Object first. What results did you want to achieve? What were your goals going into it? Because, you know, as we talked about, the goals determine the action steps you take.
Yeah. So I wanted to meet new retailers and get larger orders.
Okay.
And, you know, just like, I was excited to be at the show again. And just from a standpoint of Shop Object versus New York Now, because those were kind of similar decisions.
Yeah.
I did not do New York Now because I always shared a booth, and I didn't have a booth partner this time. And Shop Object, they provide you with walls and they provide you with lights. And I just felt like, that I'm going it alone. I don't know how to drive the U-Haul van. And I could have to like lug all the, like, I just was like, all the logistics of setting my booth up by myself in New York Now was very overwhelming. That was what pushed me a little more towards Shop Object.
Yeah.
Just like logistic wise of like actually setting my booth up, which is why I picked that. But in the end, I think it was really good because it introduced my products to a new audience. Yes, there was some overlap of retailers, but I'm looking at my list. So I got 21 orders this show, and it was like $14,000. That was more than any other show.
Yeah, your average order value went up a lot.
And out of the 21 orders, there were only 7 that were repeats, like, you know, came back of existing retailers. So all the other ones were new. And, you know, larger orders. So I think it really achieved my goals of being there.
Yeah.
And Shop Object has this online platform as well, which I found the most annoying ever in the very beginning. Because if anybody else is on it, it was a lot of work. I would just say start early if anybody wants to do it. Don't wait to the last minute like me. But I was like, I might not even do the show because it was so hard to do. But I did it. You could do it. And in the end, they show you who looks at it. And everybody that's looking helpful. At it, I could see, and I'm like, well, I never heard of that store before. So they're all, I feel like it's just putting my brand in front of new retailers.
Yeah, the visibility factor is strong.
I will say, so the majority of my orders were all my dish towel sets. You know, that was basically the majority of my orders. I also sell greeting cards, and I have some of the other like smaller gift items. I would say existing retailers ordered my greeting cards, but not a lot of new retailers. And I was thinking maybe it's because Shop Object was more of a home goods kind of show versus New York Now had the stationery show in, you know, either working alongside of it or, you know, like that was always in together yeah. or it was and wasn't, you know, but I think New York Now had more stationary people because I did have a retailer that I know and they're like, oh, there's not a lot of stationary here. And I was like, oh, you know, really? But yeah, so I don't think it was, maybe it's not. So it was great for me. But it could not be good for everybody.
Well, and that's, I mean, you know, that's my motto about every trade show out there. It's really like doing your homework and researching what type of buyers are attending, what type of brands are exhibiting. Are you kind of in the same segment as those brands, or are you totally different? Because sometimes it pays to be different, but usually you want to be around similar non-competing companies so that you're attracting the same type of buyer and leveraging each other's audiences. Okay. So you did Shop Object. You also did the fair virtual market. How did your experience and sales between the in-person Shop Object and the online fair market compare?
So I did my number crunching and I would just, so the last, this past fair market, so just the summer one, I got 25 orders. So almost the same, but only made like 12,000. So slightly less, but for the most part, they were equal, you know, like mostly equal. You know, I will say out of those 25 fair orders, 21 were existing retailers. Versus Shop Object, where only 7 were existing. So I think fair is really good for retailers who you already, you know, have relationships with to reorder. I think it's easy for them. I mean, not everybody likes it, but for the ones that do, it's just a great place for them to place reorders. And because you have the previous relationships, fair doesn't take the commission. So I push it too. Like I do my mailers and I reach out, you know, emails, and I'll just say, you know, you could order through me, but also order through fair because it's 0% commission. So you might as well, if that's easier for them. And then, you know, the few new people that I did get through fair, you know, great. Like, oh, you're like, we're exposed to some new people. And I feel like that's what I think about fair is I think it's a good platform to market to your current retailers, to place reorders or order there. And then when new people come in, it's just like a nice little bonus because, you know, fair takes a big cut in the beginning, which nobody likes. But if you compare it to a sales rep where they take a cut and they always want catalogs or they need samples and like, you're not doing any of that. So I always feel like I'm okay with it, with fair taking the cut because of that. Yeah. So I think they're good for different reasons.
Yeah.
And I think fair, you didn't have to do much work. So that's really nice. So it's like, oh, if you don't want to do the like schlepping of, you know, all your stuff and like, you know, cause trade shows are exhausting, but fun, but a lot, whereas fair, you just like you sit here and orders come rolling in, which is nice. So
I like what you said though about fair being, fair is a tool. I keep repeating this, fair is a tool. And I think it is beneficial for stores that are already familiar with you that want to leverage the added benefits that fair offers, like extended term payments or, you know, different things like that. But you've already touched on so many of the benefits too. So it has its benefits, right? And it's a great way for you and for the stores you work with to be able to communicate and process orders and things like that. But they are different. They're very, the benefits of being in person, do you feel that the benefits of being in person, even though it has that extra work and the extra cost, do you feel that that typically outweighs the benefits of the sales you've gotten through the fair market specifically, like comparing just market to market?
I am personally, I like talking to people. I like meeting them. And so I like the in-person markets because I also feel like the stores that order from me on Faire, when I reach out to people, it's just like, I don't know them. You know, like there's some people you have a relationship with. So if something goes wrong or, you know, like you have to reach out, or even just reaching out to like place the reorder, you have a relationship with them because you met them in person. It just is like a little bit of a better connection.
Yeah,
and I like that about the shows. Whereas if it's just like somebody's email, yeah, like you meet people over email and I guess you form a relationship that way, but it's not the same. So I will say I like that better about the in-person markets. But honestly, I like doing both.
Now, well, and fortunately you can do both,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because then the fair is like not that much work. So you just, okay, we'll do that, sure. And also if you don't have the energy, the budget, you know, anything to do the trade show, the like in-person trade show, then I think fair is a great, do that, you know, like great. And that's, you're doing something. I think it gets you something for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think doing both gets you a little more, because I will say, so Shop Object had the online platform, which I was being a hater, but I did try it because a retailer came up that I already knew and he's like, just try it with me, because I was, you know, like new technology is scary and we were placing the orders like at the show. Like, okay, thanks. So like once I got used to it, I figured it out, and it was actually like really nice to place orders through their online platform. It was easier. So
but setting up, you know my stance on this. Like, I do not want all of you guys selling through multiple wholesale platforms, because it is so much work to maintain and to add all your SKUs and your product descriptions and your photos. And like, it's just a lot of work for you. So like, to protect your energy and sanity, you know, I don't usually advocate for everyone selling on all the platforms. Now, this is a little bit of a different situation, because it's like tied to it's going to enhance your in real life show experience.
Yeah.
So I get it. I totally get it. But for anyone listening, like, I don't want you on Abound and Faire and Tundra and like all the places. It's too much for you to manage. Okay. Are you happy with your decision to exhibit at Shop Object, and will you exhibit there again?
I just signed up for February today.
Oh,
so yes, I know. So yeah, I was happy with it. Honestly, the ease of the logistics of setting up, it was so much nicer. Just like, no, I don't, people have done New York now, they're kind of mean to you, you know, like it's so scary. So, like, they're just like, they don't try to make it easier for you. It's there's lots of trickiness. Lots of people being like, who put those lights up? You know, you get in trouble for everything and then have to end up paying an extra $300-$500 because you touched a hammer. You know, just like things you're just like, I don't, it was just so hard.
It's a different experience for sure. And, you know, for some people, that's a better fit. For you, Shop Object was a much better fit.
Shop Object, they were so nice. They like came over and just said, like, anything we could help you with. I'm like, what? And, you know, like, and they even gave us like, that, you know, like they had a snack bar open during setup that had like really good food and like wine. I'm like, this is so nice. You know, you can always, and they gave us free breakfast. I keep talking about this because you can always, I'm sold with free breakfast anytime. Yeah. So yeah, like it's just, they were just, it was just a nicer show as an exhibitor to be at.
Well, and it goes back to, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it goes back to what I always talk about with you guys of make it easy for your customers to buy from you, make it a good experience for them so they want to continue coming back. And the same is true for, you know, these organizations we're working with on the shows too. So
yeah, and it's not that I'm not like dissing New York now, because they did, you know, help me grow and I did enjoy shows, but I will say, like, so at the end of Shop Object, I can say I had fun. I stay at my sister's all the time too, and she's like, yeah, like, usually after a show, you're like, you know, like, I'm like all cranky at the end of the day, you know, like, I don't talk to you, you know, I'm exhausted. But I just, it was easier. So it was easier as an exhibitor for me. Maybe not everybody. So.
Well, that's good advice for any shows listening. Make it simple for all of us to participate. All right. Wrapping this up, what advice would you give to someone listening right now who is considering trade shows as a part of their marketing strategy for their business?
I think I'm always in the motto of just try it. Because, you know, I know money's hard, you know, stuff tight, but you're never going to know unless you try it. You know, going into like making this decision this year too, like it was a cost a little more to do, but I was like, you know what, if it doesn't work, then I just know I learned from it, you know, I learned from it. And I don't know, then I just don't do it again next year or whatever, but just try it. Because if you really want to do it, I would say try it.
Yeah.
Then you can see if it's good for you. If it's not, you gotta try it.
And there's ways. Yeah, I agree with you. And I want to mention here too, there are ways to like minimize your risk and to reduce your budget. And those are mm-hmm. things that we cover in our programming too. So if people are needing help figuring that out, let us know.
But, and I think if you're at the stage where you're like, I want to grow my wholesale, I do think attending the shows really did help grow my wholesale.
Yeah, so I will for say sure. that. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So what's next for you and the neighbor goods? What can you share with us?
Well, we had the shop in 2019, and then we closed down during the pandemic, moved everything into my home studio basement, and we've now been here for a year. It's just a year, like last week, and we are at capacity, really like growing. We're growing a lot this year, which is
great.
And I just, the next step, like just yesterday, I went looking for spaces. So whether it is a retail storefront or a studio space, I don't know. And my realtor is probably like, please make a decision, but I'm looking at both because I don't know what I want. But I think once I got to feel it. Once I see the right spot, I'm like, if it feels right, that's what I'm going to go for. So we're in like a transition growing zone. And so I don't know where we're going to end up, but it's got to be out of my basement soon. And
we'll I can happens. Understand that. Awesome. Well, best of luck finding that space. Let everyone know where they can find you online if they want to check out your online shop or follow you on social.
Yeah. So our online shop is theneighborgoods.com, and you can find us on Instagram at theneighborgoods with love.
Awesome. We will include that in the show notes too. Jody, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah,
and also, I just want to add here too, thank you for your transparency with sharing your numbers and number of orders and the dollar amount. Really is helpful for people to hear. So thank you.
I'm glad. And I hope so. I just do it because I always want to know, like not to compare myself. And I don't know if these are good, or I just don't know if they're good or bad or what. And it's just nice to kind of be like, was this good? I don't know. So,
well, you also know my advice there of, I want you competing against yourself. So if you're seeing growth show after show, year after year, quarter after quarter, whatever we're measuring mm-hmm. here, so long as you're seeing increase of new accounts and dollar volume going up and more reorders, like that's what we want to see. So I agree.
Yeah.
Like it's helpful to know kind of just where other people are at, not from a standpoint of beating yourself up or like anything like that, but just kind of where things stand. So
yeah,
for sure.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jody.
All right. I love candid conversations like these, and I applaud Jody for having this conversation publicly for all of you to hear. Again, these types of conversations usually happen behind closed doors because people don't want to share their numbers. They sometimes worry that their numbers aren't where other people's are, or that they're going to be, you know, seen as less than. And I appreciate Jody's transparency. And if you found it helpful, please go follow and thank her on Instagram, because this was really, really rewarding. If you're considering trade shows for your business, or you want to learn more about how to scale your wholesale program, come join us for Paper Camp. The next round will be the 39th time that we have hosted Paper Camp, and the content and the conversations just continue to get richer and more robust. You can learn more at proof2product.com/papercamp. Thank you so much for listening today. I'll be back soon with a new episode.